Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your host, Dr. Adriel Butler, and welcome to The Power of Your Destiny, the Christian Lifestyle Network. So happy to have you here with me on today. We're going to have a little bit of a different discussion. We don't have any of our usual programming going on today. We don't have any books we're going to discuss or any songs we're going to discuss today. I just wanted to be kind of yourself and me, and we're just going to chat a little bit about some things that we've seen that are disturbing to us. May not disturb you, may not really sure, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So on today, we're going to discuss what has happened to the intellect of our nation. You know, the reality is intellectual suicide is when you only listen to and believe one side of an argument. At the moment that you objectively and utilize the capacity to stop learning and surrender your personality, your person, your thought process, your mind to a personal organization, at that time you've suffered intellectual suicide. So on today, we're going to be talking about what's happened to the intellect of our nation. So I want you to stick with me as we go through our discussion on today. Again, this is your host, Dr. A. Jerome Butler, and this is the Power of Your Destiny Network, the Power of Your Destiny broadcast here upon the Christian Lifestyle Network. And we'll be right back after these audios. We got a lot to get into today. Like I said, I want to challenge you to make sure you put on your Holy Ghost shoes, on your thinking cap, and stay with us today as we discuss what happened to the intellect of our nation. Our scripture today we want to talk about, and it's kind of where we revolve our discussion today, will be coming from Revelation 13, dealing with the 8th verse. It says, "And all who dwell with him, whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, from the foundation of the earth. If anyone has an ear, let him hear." And so we're going to discuss Revelation. Get your Bible today. We're going to have some Revelations talk, and we're going to show you some prophecy that we actually see in the Word, see out of the Word of God into today's headlines, into today's news. What has happened to the intellect of our nation? We'll be right back after these audios. This is your host, Dr. A. Jerome Butler, and this is The Power of Your Destiny broadcast. We'll be right back. You can call us at 347-215-8947. I want to encourage you, call your friends and family and tell them we are on the air, and they do not want to miss this. This is a deep discussion. We want to make sure you have an opportunity to chime in to this discussion, what has happened to the intellect of our nation. We'll be right back after these audio.
Engage a page, turn a burner, stage the fragrance, raise it similar to native sages, saging, unlocking a cage of praises for Rock of Ages. Let random rambling rappers rant and raving. Inflame verbs to your nerve endings, literally feeling these words in my tendons, and rattling occupants of the venue sinews, while the eulogy be orchestrating continuous crescendos. Excellent, been down since Exodus, like one of the Egyptians and Israelites joined forces, that would force a forfeit, and it's hard to drive hard when your hard drive keeps seeing the force quit. To learn to speak immigrants, yep. The language of the broken, like the system in their English. I speak with heaven's accent, angelic dialect, rapping my coast as if that spirit realm had ocean. Excellent, that's what you should expect from us. Least we can do to say thank you for how we blessed us. All else is blasphemy, disagree, get at me. And he with low standards, don't get no mics on. The stage that I stand on,
about to battle with the stakes for the rights to keep the mic for a couple more bars. No YouTube channels for rap battles or cash prizes. Just keeping you cool when heat rises. Neck breaks, concussions, gashes, and bruises. It's real manhood with the monthly bills to prove it. Start with me, my art archery aims for the dark meat. Your albums are full of more bites than shark week. Excellent. My writing remains with such serious symbolism. Styles are plenty. Pages get the let out like Jimmy. Homie, I am not kidding. There's no play date. Muscled up a hustle, a street name, the DBA. Excellent.
You are listening to the Christian Lifestyle Network.
And we're back, and you just heard Propaganda on the gospel. I love Propaganda. I love his word. I love some of the pieces that he shares. And I know I'm supposed to be old. I know I'm not supposed to like that. Y'all, you guys, I'm not going to apologize. Yeah, I really love Propaganda stuff and some of the other word pieces that we have on the broadcast. As I say, you know, we're living in a day and time that you can worship God. He said, worship him in spirit and in truth. How you worship him, as long as it is done with a pure heart, spirit and in truth, I truly believe that if he's in it, then you can't get him out of it. And so he truly blesses us as we worship him. And the reason we have such an eclectic show, we have such a large listening audience, is that we're not just stuck kind of me coming on and just preaching every Sunday or bringing in a certain genre. I've had rock and roll Christian artists on here, Grammy Award winning artists on here, rock and roll Christians. I don't care if they're bluegrass. If the book revolves around making you better as a person, if it revolves around blessing your soul and your heart, I'm all about it. And so, yeah, Propaganda, Liam, the other, especially if you've heard the show of any time, Jannetty, great spoken word artist. I love these guys. I love the spirit and the energy they bring to the gospel. I don't believe we need to have anything in our lives as we serve God that is dead. You know, anything that's dead needs to be buried. And so we serve a God that's alive. If I walked around and acted the way I'm not talking about anyone's church, I'm not talking about anybody, but if I walked around and was looking to serve a God the way some people walk around with their long faces and they say they serve Jesus Christ, I wouldn't want to serve him. So when people see me, I want to make sure I have the best representation of my God, because my God has filled me with joy. He's filled me with anointed power, and I want to make sure I share that every single place that I go. I don't only just, you know, because he told us to be a living epistle, a walking testimony. I tell my church this all the time. Every single day I should have a eulogy to who I was every day, because I am a new creature in Christ. And being a new creature in Christ causes me to eulogize what I was yesterday. It causes me to eulogize what I was a year ago or 10 years ago, because that me is dead and gone. And the better resurrection of me is in the blood of Jesus Christ. So because of him, we are going to be greater because of him, and we are blessed because of him. Amen. So we're just so excited today that you have taken out your time to be with us. If you have any questions or comments you'd like to chime in today, please hit the number 1, and we'll let you chime in. Come on in, and let's have a discussion today. Again, like I said, we're going to be talking about what happened to the intellect of our nation. There's an old joke that's out, you know, that if you really, really want to hide something important from Americans, hide it in a book, because we no longer read as we should. In fact, I have some statistics here for you right now. And for those that don't know, I broadcast out of the southern region of our country. And states like South Carolina and Georgia are in the 42. Hear this very closely. number 42 in education in the United States. South Carolina has that wonderful, wonderful distinction of being number 42. And if you look at the correlation between, I'm going to give you some knowledge right now. If you look at the correlation between education and some of the racial tension and divides we have, they're on some of the lower, education or academic things in our nation. I don't know if that's a correlation. Could be something to it. It's just interesting that the more racial tension you have in some states, education-wise, they have learned less and less, and their ratings, the educational ratings, are not very high. So that's number one. Number two is, you know, we just had the Democratic convention and the Republican convention, and I watched both of them. Like I've said before, several thousand occasions, my friends hate when I say this. Most black preachers hate when I say this. Maybe some of my congregants hate when I say this, but I say it because this is who I am, and we say it in love. I am neither Democrat or Republican, and I've shared with you before that I can't understand how you can be fiscally conservative as Republicans, say that you love God, be part of what's considered the religious right, and you would step over your fellow man and put a shirt on a dog rather than to feed the homeless or to take care of people that are destitute. I don't understand that, so I don't support the Republican agenda. While I'm saying that, let me also say that while people are touting people on welfare and things of this nature, please understand this. In our nation, those people that are on welfare and that's getting public assistance is only 13% of our nation's debt, only 13% of our nation's debt. There are more corporate welfare that's being given at 23%. The military infrastructure of our government is at over 60%. So we pay more to maintain the military and our government. When I say our government, that means people that work for the government that really do nothing for us. It's over 60%. But because the poor is someone that certain political machines or certain political systems can throw darts at, like the poor, keep in mind it's only 12% of our economy, 12% of our debt that goes towards those people that are receiving welfare and impoverished, to include, you know, I hate race, but just for discussion, per diem, there are actually more white people on public assistance than black. So let's first of all fill all the race stuff out. We don't talk about us as Americans, because what I need to talk with you about today, like I said, some people will listen, some people say, oh, Butler, you're in conspiracy lines of facts, and I'm going to share some things with you that's coming down the pike that you're going to need to know. So stay tuned with us. But before I go any further, I want to say this. You know, if you just heard one of our liners, and we're going to play it for you real quick, this liner for you very quick if I can find it. We're going to play this liner for you. I think this is it right here. Yeah.
You are listening to the Christian Lifestyle Network.
Now, that young man right there, who, you know, we've been playing that liner on our show for years, that's Tony D, Minister Dallas Frazier, a good friend of ours. He actually did that for us, and he preached at the church today. And I understand they had an awesome, awesome time today at our Youth Sunday. Unfortunately, I'm recuperating, so I couldn't make it there, and I hope someone at the church taped his message, because we've already had some members visit with us today that said he did a phenomenal job, and so we're so, so proud of him, our good friend Dallas Frazier, who has really, really speaks to not just young people, but speaks to all people, and has such a wonderful heart. He's a great, great brother. We love him dearly. He's another radio personality, WNRR in North Augusta, AM Gospel Radio there in North Augusta. So we give him a shout out. Also, on yesterday, we had our motorcycle mystery headed by our own
Deaconess Linda McManus. They had their motorcycle ministry, had their back to school with Jesus, multicultural cookout. And they gave away school supplies. In fact, they ended up running out of backpacks, which is a blessing. Yeah, I understand there were some young people that came late and didn't get backpacks. Hopefully we'll get a chance to take care of them. But gave away all of the backpacks. And I just want to say, God, you know, we serve an awesome God. It is all about having an outreach ministry. It's all about us reaching out and blessing others. If we can't be a blessing to people, we're really wasting our time, and we really have no business even opening our mouths up about the condition of this world unless we are willing to do something about it. I don't want to talk about people and how they are. If people are poor, Lord, give me the means to put shoes on somebody's feet when I see their feet on the ground. Father, if I see someone naked, give me the ability and give me the resources to put clothes on someone's back. And if there's a child that's hungry, God, give me the ability and the resources to feed them, Father. That's my prayer. I want to be a blessing to somebody every single day. And my lovely wife, so that's our prayer every day, is Lord, bring somebody in our path where we can be a blessing to. Well, the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church on yesterday gave away backpacks, had a cookout. They had the police that came out and talked with the young people and talked with the church. They had our good friend, celebrity chef, Joanne Griffin Johnson, that was there. Awesome lady. Gave away books and shared some healthy eating, and even shared, from my understanding, a recipe on that reduces blood pressure. And so that was just awesome. We also had one of the doctors from Palmetto Richland in Columbia to do some health screening and motorcycle contests, and just a whole lot of stuff going on. Kids on bounce houses and basketball. And so I understand everyone just had a wonderful, wonderful time. So we give two thumbs up to Deaconess McManus and her team for the wonderful job that they did. I talked with her on Thursday, and she had never put on an event like this before. And she was like, "Ooh, I will be happy when this is over." And I totally understand, but I know that she was blessed by everything that happened because, like I told her, the moment that we raise our hands up for God, God raises up the resources for us, and He will always, anything that you do for God, God will always come back and bless you. He'll always restore whatever you've given. So, Sister McManus, keep it up. Great job. God bless you. Well, we want to get into our discussion today, and we just read from Revelations. And again, call someone. I'm telling you, call someone, 347-215-8947. They want to be a part of this discussion we're going to have today of what happened to the intellect of our nation. You know, I kind of sit back as I look at the Democrat and Republican debate, because there are a lot of people that, regardless of what their belief systems are, these two parties have kind of wedged you in where you have to choose one or the other. So it really gets down to voting not for Donald Trump or Hillary. It gets down to voting for who could you stomach for the next 4 years? Who is the worst or the best of the two? And that's not the way it should be. Our political system shouldn't be like that. But, like I said, it is the political system. This is the system that the world has set up. And anything the world has set up, you know, it really is not set up for us as Christians. So, first of all, when it doesn't go your way, when you have people that are in the system that don't match what you believe, don't get upset. This is the way it is. They're not there to serve your agenda, to serve my agenda, and to serve God. You render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto God what's God. And then you vote and pray for whoever gets in office. Whether it's Donald Trump, guys, he could realistically get in office. Hillary Clinton, again, realistically, guys, we get in office. Do I trust either one? Wouldn't trust either one with my children. Would I feed either one? I would feed them because that's where my heart is. But turn my faith to either one of them, I can't do that. To turn my nation over to them, I don't have a choice in that. But the reality is there's some things that's coming down the pike you need to understand. And again, as we listen, look at Revelation, like I said, 13:8. And to all who dwell on the earth, whose name have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from the foundation of the earth. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. And as you read this passage, this deals with the beast. Now, in the church today, something funny going on in the church today, and my wife and I were talking about this earlier as I was trying to get together this discussion. We've been breathing this for the since I've been in the ministry, you know, coming down the pike, seeing what was coming out. I want to highlight and share with you this the rest of this discussion, because as the audio is coming, is playing, we're going to cut in and have some discussion. If you have some discussion, please cut in and talk with us. We'd love for you. There's a few things I want you to think about as we're thinking about what's called the New World Order. I want you to understand it. Conspiracy theorists and all that. Again, like I said, the people that listen to my show have a different slant on life. Are you a little bit smarter than God, and you can think outside of the box? You know, and you're not blinded by the things of this world. The Word of God talks about somebody being a fool, so I'm not saying anything the Word of God does not say. So people that listen to my show are a little bit smarter for the simple reason that they understand the Word of God, they walk in the Word of God, but they keep their eyes open and see what's going on. In Revelation, keep in mind, guys, this is a given prophecy years ago. In the Old Testament, there are over 1,500 prophecies about Jesus that is given before he's born. 1,500 different prophecies in the New Testament, and that's considering what you consider the lost books of the Bible, the pseudepigrapha and apocrypha, and I know that's for another discussion. But over 1,500 prophecies are so we're also, for those of us that believe, God sets us up to already understand what the prophetic word is all about. And so the mark of the beast is given to us by John the Revelator, who was boiling oil. They couldn't kill this guy. This is the same John that was there at the foot of Jesus when he died. Jesus told Mary, look upon your son, and son, look upon your mother. And so he passes the mantle of taking care of Mary on to John the Revelator. And so John the Revelator, as all the other apostles were beheaded and crucified upside down, and some of the horrific things these brothers went through, don't think John just got out of it. John did not get out of it. They boiled him in oil, and he didn't die. So he didn't die. He lived to be over 100 years old. He didn't die. So since they couldn't kill the brother, they just decided to stick him on an island that was deserted called Patmos. And so they stuck him out on his island, and God gave him all of these great revelations of things to come. And the third, now, before I get into the discussion of the mark of the beast, how the enemy has set up the situation for you to receive the mark of the beast. Because the Bible tells us that everyone that will trade with it, will eat, will have to accept the mark, or you will not be able to do commerce as money. So first of all, I'm going to play this audio. I want to get it in, and it's about 47 minute audio, but we're going to come back and forth into this audio as we play it. This is the reality. I want you to understand. You're going to find this very funny, but you can look it up. First, to take a look at it on the right or left, and depending on what you're in. And it's usually written in red numbers. on your birth certificate, there are numbers that are there that coincide with the New York Star that you are a certain amount of money to this nation. So if you look at it, what a stock note looks, birth certificate looks like a stock note because it is. And so it says your earning potential, and they have actuaries that actually work for the World Bank, and people will probably listen to this, and I don't know if I come up missing. People that work for the World Bank that take all of our numbers that the nation has calculated in on our birth certificates, have it in the database. And back in the 70s, this database was in Brussels, Belgium. And it was a huge, huge computer that was called the Beast. Okay? So that's number one. I want you to stay with me because, like I said, the discussion is deep. It's really deep. But all the birth certificates and all those numbers go into the World Banking System, and the World Banking System had this computer called the Beast. And so your birth certificate tells the government and the actuaries that work for this government off of you while you're alive, and they equate based on, you know, your age, your race, you live at, and everything else, what your earning potential is for the rest of your life. Keep in mind, our government's money, we only have a D note. Well, our money is just paper. It is just paper. That's all it is. And it's supposed to be connected to the goal that we have in Fort Knox. No, ma'am, no, sir. It is slated to the earning potential. That's why the World Bank, you know, when they talk about we're $16, $17 trillion in debt, to who? Have you ever thought about who we're in debt to? If we're printing our own money, who are we in debt to? Well, we're in debt to the World Bank. The World Bank is really who operates our whole economic system. And I'll go a little bit deeper into that sometime. If somebody calls me, I can talk to you a little bit like about that. But I don't want to get into that in the radio because, like I said, there's some things that's coming down the pipe. But the World Bank borrows off of that money, borrows off of our backs, and so they have a beginning of the stock, which is your birth certificate, and an ending of the stock, which is your death certificate. And so the moment your earning potential stops at your death certificate, the government can no longer borrow off of you from the World Bank. You didn't realize you were that important, did you? Well, you are. But anyway, so that's number one. Everything went into the Beast. The second thing is they indoctrinated all of us that you needed a Social Security number. First of all, to work, you need a Social Security number to do all of this commerce. It tracks you your whole life. It's how our governmental system keeps up with you. If you don't have a Social Security number, then you cannot work. So they've already indoctrinated you to receive whatever mark is on the way. Second thing, keep in mind, so we have the computer named the Beast that is in Brussels, Belgium. We have now a commerce system that most people don't even, my wife doesn't even carry money with her. Most of the time she has a credit card. You know, everything is done with plastic, and now the plastic has gone to these little chips. Now, I want you to keep in mind, we're talking about a cashless system of commerce is where we're headed. Well, how do we go to that? Well, I want you to keep in mind, for the last several years, they've been experimenting on animals, and they have been experimenting on animals with what's called a V-chip. That V-chip goes in an animal that tells where the animal is located. It's tracked by a GPS system, the whole gamut. So they can track that animal by that V-chip, okay? They inject that in that animal. So don't get it twisted. They started with animals, but it's not a hard transition to humans. Identity theft has come along. So if my credit card is stolen and people are stealing my identity, what is the easiest way for me to keep up with who I am and all of my information other than on my body? So the same V-chip that we're talking about right now eventually is going to be injected into each and every human being in order to have commerce, in order to get a job, and the whole gamut. There are places in Europe that have already started. In fact, there are places here in America that are already beta testing the V-chip being injected. Companies, you're going to hear in this this audio, and it's all truth. This is nothing that Dr. Butler is coming up with. This is all truth of what is coming down the pike. What John the Revelator saw over 2,000 years ago, and what we see happening right now. Now, the other side of it is that when your government pushes something down your throat, you accept it. Case in point, homosexuality. This whole, and it's not gay, it's homosexual. We call things of what they are. We don't minimize things to be politically correct. What they are. The homosexual again has been pushed down your boat. Absolutely nothing. Knowing that it goes against God, knowing that it's not right, we did absolutely nothing. All of this is beta testing. That if 3%, and only 3% of America says they're homosexual, if 3% of America could push for such a significant right that God deemed at the beginning of time with male and woman, if they could turn something so gender to who we are as men and women, if they could change something so significant, then they could change anything they want. Keep in mind, your child can't even go to school without having their immunization shots. So when the mark comes, they've already conditioned you to receive whatever your government tells you. I talk with people all the time about abortion, and they will fight me tooth and nail, knowing that this is murder. So whatever our government pushed down our throat, we accept it. And there's only a few preachers like myself, and somebody says, well, I can't really say anything like that. My church will abandon me and this, that, and the other. Dear hearts, look, this is just where I stand at. Because it's legal, it does not make it right. And if it is wrong in God's word, then it is wrong. I have no hatred against anybody, but I want you to understand how sincerely crazy this is. And I told my wife last night, I have a campaign going on right now. And, my wife, she just kind of looks at me. A campaign going on right now that I am, are we going through this gender, transgender thing with the bathroom? Well, I'm doing my trans color thing. And my trans color thing is that since someone could say that their designer or their creator cannot tell them or make them man or woman, who should tell me what color I am? Because if they're confused about their gender, I'm not confused about who I am. I'm part of the human race. You have labeled me as a black man or a white man, but I feel like a man. So I mark other because I'm not confused who I am. You're confused who you say I am, okay? To include, my creator has made me part of the human race and part and made me a man. Society says I'm a black man. Having fun with it. But this is reality. When you go to the DMV, if you were to tell them, if you had, and I was sharing with a pastor friend of mine the other day, if you had a silver SUV and you went down to the DMV and told them you had a red sports car, they would look at you like you're crazy. Because the designers of the vehicle made it, capacity that it is, have made it for all of the bells and whistles that go with an SUV. They made it an SUV, and they knew what they were doing when they made it an SUV. The right tires are on it. It has the load capacity. It has the right engine in it. It has the right color. And so when they comes off the assembly line, it came off the assembly line how they made it. But when you get it and you go to the DMV and say, but that ain't what I want it to be. I want it to be a red sports car. They will look at you like you have lost your mind. Well, that's exactly where we are now. Is that anyone can say they are anything they want to be. If God made me a man, say I'm a woman. And if he made me a woman, I surely can say I'm a man. Why? Because I say I'm the master of myself. I'm greater than the designer who made me. And so I own this car. I own this SUV. So now I want it to be a red sports car. Regardless of what you say it is, it's what I want it to be. That makes no more sense than the gender identification does. I know you've signed it into law, Mr. President. And I know, you know, a guy can walk into a bathroom with a dress and make it so. It doesn't make it true. Again, we're having this discussion, 347-215-8947. Oh, my time has almost slipped away from me. Let me get to this audio for you guys, and I want you to listen to it because the other side of this thing is that we have made money the new God. I want you to listen to this. This is Dr. Adrone Butler, part of the Christian Lifestyle Network, and this is an audio about the mark of the beast. And we'll let this audio play out. You can listen to it even after the show is going off. And I hope you've enjoyed the show. I'll probably tip back in just to say a few words. But this is an audio about the mark of the beast. And this is your host, Dr. Adrone Butler, part of Christian Lifestyle Network. And this is the Poverty Destiny broadcast.
To think something so small can connect you to everything that matters.
When your life and all you love
are on the line.
When every second counts in the emergency room, providing immediate access to your medical records.
Because Rob has trouble remembering all his medications.
Because I'm in love with my kids' kids.
Because now I'm looking out for both of us.
Because I have diabetes, but it doesn't have me.
Because I spend my life in the ER trying to save yours.
There is no credible cause for concern about implanting these tiny microchips under your skin.
There's been over 10 million pets in 15 years that have had this microchip without any problems.
The mark of where we're going to put that chip.
Stockbroker Robel Johnson is one of the pioneers. Today he's having a chip implanted in his arm.
Okay. Now you're going to feel a little pressure.
If ever he becomes an emergency patient, he can be instantly identified.
Yeah. How did that feel?
Fine. That's fine.
Okay, great.
Doctors think it will soon be as commonplace as vaccinations.
Your chips?
Don't you play that number today.
The scanner powers up. Wave it over the arm. Pulls up the unique 16-digit identification number. And through a serial port that's at the bottom of the scanner, it goes to a computer or a laptop where immediately my picture, my driver's license information, and my relevant medical records would pop up on the screen.
Instead of GPS bracelets, convicts would be forced to have a device implanted.
Instead of ankle bracelets, sex offenders might have something like this. Implanted.
Parents are putting these chips in kids in Mexico where there's a higher risk of kidnappings. The scanners are put up at airports and bus stations, so if a chipped child is there, police know.
I think it's good because it's really fast. The queues go quicker so that you don't have to spend all break queuing up for the food.
Your parents can pay online and you don't have to worry about losing your money or getting it stolen or anything.
Now, I want you to understand how people, to some people, it already seems too far-fetched that someone would let them do this. The first gentleman that they had that you heard was a stockbroker, money. And so the way the company is selling this V-chip, the way they're selling this microchip is right now through your health, that they can scan it, your license comes up. all of your pertinent information comes up, all your medicine comes up, everything comes up. At the same time, you can also be tracked via GPS. I want you to hear how many people say they have no problem with this. The other side of this is the technology, getting away from ankle bracelets, getting away from the GPS bracelets that people wear for people with Alzheimer's and things of this nature. So they're going to sell it to you all these ways that they're going to have you implant it. I just want you to understand how insidious this is. There is a company that already has, they're already chipping children in Mexico. The Mexico airports and bus stations are already fitted that when you walk through it, it can already identify who you are.
Increasing amount of support for a microchip for buying and selling. Some people are kind of saying that people are going to be forced to take it, but
correct, yeah.
I think eventually people will be keying up themselves and taking it.
I would not have a problem at all if they wanted to put a microchip in me to help out with any kind of medical security, anything. I'd be fine with it.
So, I saw my thing about the money and the banking. I hope in the future I can take one in my right hand.
I think it's very cool, actually. It's a cool concept.
If I was to have a microchip which would benefit me on a personal level, I wouldn't have any problems with the ramifications. Like, for instance, if I had a microchip which would allow me discounts, say, on like toll roads or purely financial reasons, which was exclusive to that, then I'd have no problem.
I got chips.
My whole office is getting the chip.
I already got the chip.
I've got the chip.
We got the chip.
Now, the points that are most being used to sell the implantable microchip to people are causing a lot of fear and paranoia amongst conspiracy theorists. Fears like giving the government too much control.
They're trying to bring in the RF chips as a form of control to all of us human beings. If you don't do as you're told, if you don't conform to the authority, you don't conform to controls, you will have your chip turned off and you will not have anything. And if they turn that off, you can't go into shops, you won't be able to get into the doors, all electronically.
The idea of having one as a thin edge of a wedge as a way of social control and monitoring, I think that's very, very dangerous.
When I read the book with Barry Smith, it brought up for me the significance of the Antichrist and controlling of people. That's what it brought up. Second, yeah, the Antichrist. You see these fictional movies and you see their implants and it controls you.
First, we take a gloomy, dissatisfied woman. We locate her brain. We insert a few nano chips. Finally, we enhance her to fit the ideal.
Now, I want you to understand what was just said now. If and when you get this chip and you are, at that point, you are under the submission of the governmental system or whoever operates these things, your chip can always be turned off. And that means every dime that you work for, your medical information, everything else, if you're considered someone that's subversive against whatever power is running the system at that time, they can always cut your chip off. They can just put it to a position that you don't exist. This isn't conspiracy stuff. I'm just giving you some real-world, real-application stuff that's getting ready to come our way. If it's already in Mexico, they're already doing it in Europe. Guys on Wall Street are already doing it. It's just a matter of time, dear hearts, before we're going to have to make some serious decisions. Keep in mind, we're no longer an agricultural society. Most people don't know how to plant their food any longer. Most people don't know how to harvest food any longer and take care of themselves. So the government takes care of us. In one way or the other, we go into stores and buy our food, and we just feel, hey, I'm happy, everything won't change. I just slide the chip in into the barcode reader there or whatever, and everything is hunky-dory. Until it becomes personal, which it will become personal, there's going to be a time when you're going to have to be implanted with this chip. And at that moment, at that point in time, they will own everything you do. Because, again, if you're somebody crazy like me, who's not going to take the chip. If you have received it and all of a sudden you get Christ in your life, they can very well just turn your chip off where you won't receive anything, any services, be able to buy food or anything else. But I'm telling you, it's coming down the pipe. You can continue to listen to this.
Have a house. My biggest theory is that it's not ever going to be implemented.
I think it's very scary what you're talking about with that company that put it in your hand and, you know, might get to that point where you need to have that or you can't buy anything. And I think it's very, very scary. I would hope that this company, that it wouldn't get pushed to the point you were talking about, but that's all I have to say.
If it was an essential to life, which again, I hope it would never be, I would put it in my body, but I would hope it never would come to that point.
Would you take the very chip?
No way, no, yeah. No. Well, if I had to have one to participate within the community, well, for the well-being of my family, I might be forced to, yes. But I'm hoping it doesn't get to that.
Okay, with the Verichip, I would not take it on. I think if it got to the point where if you didn't have a Verichip in you, then you couldn't work, you couldn't earn money, you couldn't pay rent, I guess then there's not much choice but to conform and to go with it. But I don't see that would happen anytime soon, I don't think anyway.
I've noticed when it starts costing people personally, you know, i.e. that they won't be able to buy or sell, the penny drops, they go into denial, and they don't even want to face the fact that they've surrendered already. I mean, it's like they've just caved in, but they don't even want to face it, and that's really disturbing.
Yeah, the issue that concerns me the most on that is just money in general. You know, whether it's a microchip implant for buying or selling or just plain cash, people are too dependent on it, and the vast majority of society have more faith in money than they do in God.
Yeah, there used to be a lot of talk about the mark of the beast in the churches, but there doesn't seem to be any more of that.
I'm a Church of England. My particular church have not discussed about the mark of the beast. The Church of England, I think they're more very politically correct, and they don't want to tread on people's toes.
I'm Assistant Minister of Grace Church, Dulwich. Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with buying or selling or using money in this way. I personally don't have a problem with this idea of having a microchip put in your arm as a sort of, I don't know, credit card that you can buy and sell in clubs or go down to Sainsbury's and buy your food. No, I would not have a problem with that as a Christian. I think you can worship Jesus Christ whilst at the same time having a mark in your arm, yes.
I want to make sure you just heard him. He's a minister at the Church of England, and he says he has no problem, so he is going to be preaching to his people to receive this chip. Not only in England, there will be ministers here because we are so docile that will tell you that you will need to get the chip. If you are a member of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church in Johnston, South Carolina, you will never have to worry about pastor ever saying that. I ask you to continue to pray for me, because as times get harder and rougher, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth has to come forth. The problem is we have lulled people to sleep with sermon and the word till people do not want to hear truth any longer. And they got something going to have here about Thompson. I don't know what the guy's name is. I'm losing that. But money coming.
Topic of chapter 13. We would consider that the Sabbath, that is Saturday, is the day of worship of the believers.
It's coming up. But we have got more into telling people about being blessed and money and replacing money with God. And so because in church are replacing money with God and blessings with God, you're automatically becoming conditioned that when the chip time comes, when the mark of the beast comes, you're not going to want to give up your money and eat it and your job.
I'll accept.
We'll be right.
It won't be the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is when you go against God's holy day. My church has discussed the microchip. When it's given out, if it has nothing to do with the law of God, it can be received and used.
Not so many churches have talked about the mark of the beast. they actually are silent about it, and they don't really teach you about it and how to avoid it.
My particular church have not discussed about the mark of the beast.
If you want to have a congregation that's big, you want to have people follow you, then you've got to speak about prosperity. It's like, okay, God is going to raise you up, or God is going to give you this, He's going to heal you, He's going to give you this or that.
And I've been trying to show you that the Bible teaches that God wants you to be rich, that God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be abundantly supplied.
If you concentrate on prosperity and you think your life revolves around money, then you're worshipping the beast.
And when we say worship, we add a small word to explain day of worship.
I think you can worship Jesus Christ whilst at the same time having a mark in your arm, yes.
Most of the churches, or the vast majority of the churches, are not teaching the masses or the followers, that will be followers of Christ, about the money, and that the money is a way of worshipping, is a form of worshipping the beast.
Hallelujah! Money!
Club 700 has actually had Very Chip on, who have basically stated, look, this isn't the mark of the beast because it has not been mandated by government.
Yeah, it's interesting that we now have something that matches the prophecy.
And I want you to understand, dear hearts, once again, I'm not here trying to scare you. This, again, you know, our show is not about fear. It is about informing you to what is to come. I want you to be empowered. And I want you to understand the prosperity message is already setting up thousands of hundreds of people to be prepared to receive the chip. Hear me closely, dear hearts. There is nothing in the Bible that tells everybody they're going to be a millionaire. There's nothing in, you know, yes, God wants you to be prosperous in your health and in everything else, but over excess, when you say rich, you're talking about an over excess. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. Don't read into and feed into all that we receive from these televangelists and some other ministers. Don't feed into that. I want to make sure that you're equipped, because what we've seen in our nation and the shootings and things of this nature, don't get distracted. I'm saying all the time, I'm going to continue to say, your purpose, know your purpose, walk your purpose, and don't get distracted. But at the same time, things are not going to get better. There's wars and rumors of wars in Revelation, and these things are to come. And so when it sounds like I'm being a gloom and doom preacher, I'm actually just telling you what the Word of God says. The church has been silent about telling people about hell and what I'm talking about here today, the mark of the beast. The church is totally silent about those things, because you want to grow membership. You want people to come in, and people will get downtrodden and down, you know, so just lie to them, you know. Everything is unicorns and fairy tales and rainbows. And that's not it. Dear heart, to live a pure life for Jesus Christ, it's a difficult life, but it is rewarding to live it. Mount Pleasant handed out backpacks and school supplies on yesterday. It is about doing your best for humanity to make people better. That's what it's about. It's not about us getting everything we can to prosper. It's not about us getting driving, you know, the best that's out there on the road and living in the best places and then not caring about our fellow man. That is not what it's about. It is about us living the best life we can and loving people with the love of Jesus Christ and knowing we could affect people's lives. But I'm here to tell you, dear hearts, the time is coming that you're going to have to make a decision. First of all, you're going to have to make a decision, is Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior or not? And if he's not, then this won't matter to you what we play today. You'll receive the mark of the beast with no hesitation. There are companies that's going to try to tell you it has nothing to do with the government. But, you know, when polio first came online and they were trying to eradicate polio, and they finally did eradicate it to some instance. And at first, the injections the kids get for smallpox and all that, they told you you didn't have to get it. Now it's mandated. The enemy always takes you to one place and tells you he didn't want to go any further, just like the homosexual marriage. You know, we just want civil unions, and we just want to be on each other's insurance policies. Next thing you know, the White House has rainbows, and you're living in a society where God has turned his back on us. So they will feed us little by little until they get ready to feed it all to us at once. But by then, it's too late. It's kind of like cooking a frog. You know, you put the frog in the water, and he's fine. And as the water begins to boil, he doesn't know anything about it. And before he knows it, he's turned over. He's dead. He's boiled to death because the process has been so slow and methodical that it has killed him because the heat has gone up a little by little until before he knows anything that he's dead. And so I want to challenge you, be in prayer for yourself and prayer for your family. These things are coming that we're sharing with you. I'm still at a place of joy and a place of encouragement, but these things are coming, dear heart. And I encourage you to get in your word. I encourage you to get into your church. I encourage you, if your minister, your pastor, is not teaching you the truth, find a church that is. Find a place that has the word of God and get in it. Don't concern yourself about the entertainment of the church and all these other things. Find a place where you can serve God. Find a place where God's word is being spoken in truth. He said, he that worships me must do it in spirit and in truth.
I wouldn't want to do it.
I would totally see where this would tie into the whole Revelations Antichrist thing.
I could see definitely how people would think that a microchip could be construed as a mark of the beast.
If it comes down to that, is that the chip is the mark of the beast, and because of my Christian faith, I will never wear it.
The Christian faith and several other faiths have intertwined into it a mark of the beast concept, which is generally seen these days and accepted as the microchip. It's going to have a massive effect on people consciously and in their communities. There's going to be a rejection on that level alone. If I was to be cut off, I still wouldn't take the chip. I would find a community, no matter how hard it took, that didn't require that level of submission.
Yeah, what I found most interesting about watching this is that the people who could see the issues most clearly were usually not religious. They're oftentimes on the fringes of society, the kind of people that Jesus really would have associated with. And, I met these street punks, you know, these people in Utah, and I barely mentioned the implantable microchip with them, and what they said was pretty good. Maybe we can check it out, yeah, have a look.
Oh, the computer chip that they're going to put into us?
You know what?
I think about that one. If you read the Bible, dude, it says you cannot buy, sell, or trade without the mark of the beast. It's so easy. It's convenient. It's right there. Beep. Oh, everything's right there. Beep. And I will never, ever put a chip in me or in any of my children.
Oh, no. I don't want to be marked.
People that actually have the chips and the cards,
you
would not believe
is,
how much that they actually waste. They're actually going to throw away enough to us unchipped people. We can actually survive without chips.
Because money is just paper shape.
He understands the ramifications of having this chip. And he's not saved. And so, like I said, the challenge is coming. I'm going to let this play on out until the show ends. But thank you so much for listening. We didn't have any questions or comments on today. I want to challenge you to go back and listen to this audio, share it with someone else. someone else will try to listen and say, oh, that don't mean nothing. You know, Pastor Butler, Dr. Butler is just grabbing on to fear. I study things for a reason, because when, as a pastor, as a man of God, people are lost, and I have to know what's going on out here in the world. Yeah, I'll listen to every now and then what's considered the top 40, because I want to know what our children are listening to. I want to know who the hottest artists are for our children. I have kids myself, to know what they're listening to, because if their lifestyle doesn't match up with Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ is sharing with us, I have to have the ammunition to show our young people and to show people that they're going in the wrong direction, and the right direction is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Our show is getting ready to end and here in a few moments. Again, like I said, I'm going to continue to play this out. Thank you so much for participating and listening to the show on today. Remember to love God, love life, keep the light on, keep us in your prayers, and just continue to hold up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. This week, say to yourself, I'm going to make a difference in someone's life. I had a quote here I wanted to share with you before I got off the air, and it is, life is difficult. Life is hard. Don't be the person in someone's life that makes it so. Life is difficult and life is hard, but don't be the person in their life that makes it so. We love you so much. Remember, love God, love life. Keep the light on. We'll see you next time.
Again, I don't know a lot about this chip thing, but from what you've told me just then, it seems pretty similar. No, I'd never take a chip. I'd never microchip myself.
I think it's kind of interesting, like talking about people being chipped in the future. I engage with wild food. Engaging with, like, the natural world, wild plants, does make you wild in the sense that you want to rebel against standardization, manipulation, control, all these things, which I think people are seduced into because they're being manipulated, because the world is so complicated, it's so stressful. Using plants in that way and relating to people in that way just makes you, you will never be ripe for manipulation. You will always rebel.
I'll never be treated voluntarily. They'll have to hold me down. They'll have to knock me out. Not taking the microchip could end up meaning that you would starve to death. I understand that.
I'm not Christian myself, and I'm not that knowledgeable about revelations, but I know that when they talk of a mark of the beast, it's for buying and selling, and everyone in society must bear this mark to operate and function. But there needs to be some resistance to this agenda on a practical level. If it does end up that most people have got the microchip and there is a few resistors still out there, I think they will be hunted down. They'll be targeted for elimination. I think I would refuse the Verichip under all circumstances, even if there was the threat of imprisonment, the threat of death.
People from all religions know that something's wrong in these times. This is the most serious chess game that's ever been played. This game is so cunning, it is so deceptive. You can't say that this is of human origin. It is that in depth. It's the decisions that you make, and whether you succumb to the system and just say, look, the pain and the misery that I'm feeling, I'll succumb to, you know, taking the very chip, and so I can access food. Whereas for me, I'd rather starve and eat rocks before I took it.
That is great. You know, it is starting to show that there are actually some individuals out there who've got some character that seems to be so lacking in today's society. The kind of character that would literally be willing to die before doing something that they know is wrong.
It seems like a lot of other people have really missed the need to, you know, count the cost.
I don't know that they have missed it, though. I mean, you know, how many of them started backpedaling when we raised the question of what will you do when you can't buy yourself?
Yeah, the kind of people who have what it takes to refuse the mark, I think they need to be, they're going to have to be, like, maybe fanatics, if I can say that, like idealists who would be ready to give up everything change their whole entire lifestyle before they would go against their conscience.
Maybe we messed up by not giving people the next chapter in the book of Revelation to read. You know, the one where it really hits home how seriously God views this whole concept of the mark?
Well, this guy knows what it's about. You can tell by what he's saying. But let me read it out. It says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb.'"
Yeah, the Lamb in that passage is referring to Jesus. This isn't the kind of lovey-dovey stuff that most churchgoers would associate with God or Jesus, is it? But it's right there in the Bible.
Maybe people should stop telling God how to do his business. And if he says there's going to be a day when he's had enough of mankind's disrespect for him, then so be it.
Okay. And let me read on. "And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, whoever worships the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name."
Yeah, from that, it seems that accepting the mark is the point of no return for mankind. And I think we're on the verge of that point right now in human history.
Not the line in the sand, it's the line in the concrete. That is where it's drawn. I think that is where the soul is lost. It's as simple as that. It is a choice of serve the mainframe or mammon or whatever you want to call it. But there is obviously a definitive line.
Actually, I did let that one marketing guy who I interviewed in the cafe earlier read the passage, which is probably why he fell to pieces so much. My guess is that he'd never even heard of that passage before, and he chose not to accept it, probably because it was easier to stay in denial.
I don't know. I think that's very negative. I don't like to think of these things negative. I wouldn't want to read that paragraph then think of that as a negative thing. Just to take that leap from reading a warning sign to actually taking it to factual facts that it's happening is a massive leap of, I don't know, for me, I think that's a massive bit. I can see it as a warning, and there's loads of sections which, you know, this is what we experience in this time and whatever, and take heed of this, but I don't think it's that translatable to now, I don't think, for me.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that the verse about not taking the mark of the beast is followed by a verse which talks about people dying for their faith. I mean, that's what it's coming to, you know, and that's what people don't want to think about. But here, let me read it.
"Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commands of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven say to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord.'"
One of the problems that I've found about most religious discussions concerning the book of Revelation is that it's all about matching up symbols and dates or trying to convince people that your church is the one true church. It never seems to relate back to the teachings of Jesus. But when you recognize that the mark of the beast, you know, is all about buying and selling, there is an obvious link. Jesus, you know, commanded his disciples not to work for food, not to even think about where their material needs would be, you know, come from or, you know, how they'd be met. But where is there anyone today actually teaching people to obey the teachings of Jesus? You know, Jesus made it clear that the choice would be between serving God or mammon, or God and the mainframe, as that guy Greg put it earlier.
Yeah, there's a guy here in the UK who's been living like without money for more than a year now. And he's not really the religious type, but he's got it really spot on about the buying and selling. And he seems to understand that it may cost us our lives in the end.
I've been thinking about this, and I feel like sometimes the soldiers of peace aren't as brave as the soldiers of war. And that if you see the soldiers of war going into battle, they're prepared to die for what they're doing. We all need to be a little bit braver. We all need to stand up and be counted and be heard. I think we all, myself completely included, need to be braver.
I've been living for the last 12 months without money. We used to find security in friends and family and the greater communities we lived in. We now see security in notes and coins. When we buy and sell things, we're saying, I'm going to help you, but I want something in return. What better reason to help somebody than the fact they actually need some help? Like, do we actually always need to get something in return? Think about it. Nobody goes to their dad like, well, you know, I've cooked dinner this evening, that's £5. If we all work together, share the resources, not only would it be better for the environment and would we use less resources, it's much better for us as people.
Yeah, Mark and some of his friends recently put on an alternative gathering in Bristol, which coincided with Buy Nothing Day. I think it was called the Free Economy Festival, and it was a fantastic day because everything was done for free. No money changed hands, no one was paid for what they did, and even the food itself was free because it was rescued from supermarket bins.
Yeah,
they fed more than 1,000 people, and there was still food left over. So it was a really good illustration of those what those street punks that you interviewed were saying about how you could survive on what the people throw away.
Mm. Here's some footage of the gathering. Yeah. So just here at the Buy Nothing Day Festival, and there's an army of volunteers, as you can see, busily prepping a three-course meal, which is going to be served later on. So it's great to be a part of it. Most of the food that I get is from the back of supermarkets. About 90% of all the food I eat, gets found.
I'm just amazed that all this food goes to waste.
Do I live to work or do I work to live? And do I give to earn or do I earn to give? And if I do my best for society, will they care about money or will they care about me?
Do I think this is wonderful. It's really nice to all be under the same roof. I'm a language teacher, so I brought loads of sort of French books and dictionaries and textbooks and stuff like that that I don't need. And I found chocolate spread, so I changed it linguistic for chocolate spread. There you go. My first experience.
So as you can see, we're still going through this audio for the Mark of the Beast. And people that appear to have nothing to do with Jesus Christ understand what's coming down the pike. The company that is making these chips, I want you to understand there are 7 billion people on the planet right now, 7 billion people on the planet right now. These companies have over, I think the last number that I heard was 13 million of these chips have already been produced and ready to go into humans. And so this thing is coming. It is something that is coming. There's some other things that are going on connected with the UN and all that. And like I say again, for people who are lulled asleep with what they read in the newspaper and what they see on television that are just on the peripheral and don't match up what they hear, what they read in the Bible, and that's as far as they're going. I want you to understand that this is much deeper than just going to church on Sunday and just doing what you're doing in your everyday life. There are some significant changes that are coming. And like I said, in every turn that Satan injects and plugs in his agenda, you can call it the liberal agenda, you can call it the conservative agenda, you can call it whatever you want to. But every time Satan plugs in his agenda and we conform to that agenda, he's getting closer to the time where Christ is going to come back, getting closer to the time where we're not going to be able to live our lives as we do now. The wonderful thing is, dear hearts, is that as we serve Christ, know where your source is and who is your source. Your source has got to be through Jesus Christ. And you've got to know as times get more and more difficult, you are doing greater things for the kingdom, that you are the one that's standing in the gap for people, that you're the one that's praying for people, you're the one that's being solid for people, and that you're lifting up Jesus Christ in your life. And when people see you, they see Christ. They don't see you, they see the Christ in you. That's what you've got to work towards, because the time is coming. And again, this prophecy, and I've been saying this, and my wife will tell you, since I met her, and I imagine when she met me, you know, over 10, 11 years ago, she thought, what is wrong with this guy? He's talking about these chips and this being the mark of the beast. And I was taking her all through the Bible and showing her revelations and how things were going, and just pick up a newspaper and show her a newspaper, you know, when 9/11, you know, happened and all these other things. That's right there. The prophetic word is right there in Revelations. And so I would be foolish to think if Revelations in the Old Testament talk about Jesus coming, in the New Testament, in Revelations, I can show these events, 9/11, some of the shootings we're having. We can see these events. We can see the Megiddo Project that's going on, and that's a whole different subject right there, the Megiddo Project that's going on, Kilgill Principle that the UN just passed. There are some things that's happening right now on the world stage that if you just have your head stuck in the sand, because keep in mind, part of what the enemy wants to do is to keep you talking about Donald Trump and to keep you talking about Hillary Clinton, and next week talk about Kim Kardashian and talk about Beyonce and all these other things, and not really look at the true issues that are going on in this world. Because if you pull your head out of the sand, you may see that you are really exposed, and you need to protect yourself with the blood of Jesus Christ. You may need to do some things that are smarter and different than the way you're doing them right now. And the audio is almost done. We're going to go right back to it.
Someone comes along and says, you don't need to do this, you know. Everyone gets like, but I do, I have to. And that tension, I think it all hangs on that tension in some ways. I mean, it compromises you're never giving totally, and you're never receiving totally when you're using money, because you're always aware of the back current of the exchange. But when you don't use money, if you just are giving something and you're not thinking about what you're going to get back, it's a full-hearted gift. If you have to acknowledge to yourself your vulnerability, and you cannot pretend that you're not vulnerable, when you've got money, it masks over your natural insecurities, the needs that everybody has. We all pretend that we don't all share that basic need, and we can get away with that with money. But when there's no money, you're much more aware of how dependent on each other you are, and you're much more open in your vulnerability. Which is a much more heart-centered, it's much braver, much more heart-centered way to live. Well, it's almost like a spirituality. There's that guy in the States that it is a spirituality for. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually got an interview with Swallow where he lives at his cave in Utah.
He's the guy who's been living without money for 10 years, right?
Yeah, 10 years, yeah, that's right.
Dang.
This is like my home base here. Like, I have a cave here, and I usually stay here in the winter time. The cave's small, so I can keep it warm in the winter pretty easily. But I also have a camp in town, and that I move around now and then. It's very temporary. Well, everything is. And often in warmer months, I travel around the country, just live wherever randomness takes me. I remember thinking, going through periods where I thought that, or I wondered why we didn't practice the teachings of Jesus. Like, he was more of an icon to be worshipped than to be followed in practice. We divide the world up among different religions and philosophies, but to me, there's only two. And it doesn't matter whether you call it Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever. Basically, they all boil down to love or money, God and mammon. The Buddha said there are two paths. One leads to wealth, one leads to nirvana. And Jesus said one leads to mammon and one leads to God. So those are the only two religions in the world. One's spiritual and one's materialism. So there are no grounds under which I would allow myself to be microchipped.
Yeah, we interviewed a lot of people about issues relating to this. There was that guy, Andy Hamilton, in Bristol, who's a co-author of the Self-Sufficient-ish Bible. Fergus Drennan, who's a famous wild forager. Greg Nicoletis, who's the founder of the We the People Will Not Be Chipped movement, who works closely with Catherine Albrecht. It's quite a few people.
I think that Sweller and Mark Boyle represent the two strongest proponents of this message, though, because I think they have their act together and they're more than just talk.
Mm. So, and what about us? Are we going to include something about us in this documentary as well?
Well, we are in the documentary right now. See that camera over there?
So how do we include what we're doing in the film?
Well, the cameras are rolling. Why don't we just talk into the camera?
Okay. Here goes. So we don't normally live in houses like this.
We don't live without money entirely, but we do live without working for money.
And as a group, some of us have been living like this for more than 20 years.
Right, we're freegans, which means we get most of our food from the back of supermarket dumpsters.
We live and travel in vehicles that run on waste vegetable oil.
Yeah, and we use solar panels to get our electricity from.
But really, we're preparing for a time where we won't be having vehicles at all, and we'll be living pretty much like Swellow.
We have contacts in India, Kenya, Australia, America, and here in the UK as well. And next year, we hope to have a base in Argentina.
Yeah, that makes us sound huge, when in reality, we're just a couple of dozen people at the moment. But we're training. We're learning how to survive just through faith in God, and we're preparing for a time when people of conscience in the world everywhere are going to have to survive without buying and selling. Some of us will die in the process, but there is a great need for us to be preparing right now.
A big part of that preparation is getting the message out to others, like we're doing with this film.
But we need to be clear that it's not all about us either. It's about people finding a faith that's bigger than money. And then linking up with others who have a similar kind of vision.
There are dark times ahead, but God wants to prepare us for it by teaching us to take the message of Jesus seriously right now, before the axe falls.
It is necessary that you take this disc out in the, that's out in the street, make a copy, make 100 copies. It's for everyone.
Don't take the mark of the beast. Don't take the mark of the beast.
So when you get some time, if you will, hit me up on social media. We are very serious about what we share with you. I don't know what's to come. I don't know how me and my family will do. But the reality is that we've got to prepare ourselves in Jesus' name. And I want to pray with you, and as we move forward, that our nation has lost its intellect. We've lost our intellect because we're so willing to follow trends and follow whatever the media tells us, follow whatever, and that's on both sides of the aisle. I'm not talking Democrat or Republican. Right now I'm talking something deeper. I'm talking about the enemy. So willing to follow what the world says. You can't even watch a movie and have your children take part of sharing that movie with you without there being cursing and things of that nature. And, you know, the Word of God says, you know, a little leaven spoils a whole loaf. So we've got to get ourselves back to a place of love and spiritual purity where we live the life that we live, but also part of living the life of Christ is preparing for the future. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. But until the time comes that your life is extinguished and you go on, this end of your life is extinguished and you go on to heaven, you have to make sure you're getting ready for whatever the world throws at you, because, you know, having a materialistic mindset, having a it's all about me mindset, you know, it's these things are coming. These things are coming. We've got to prepare ourselves mentally. We've got to. God bless you. I got some people on the chat line that are asking us to pray for them. But we've got to prepare ourselves for what is to come, and we are going to have prayer. And thank you all so much, Linda, Joanne, Beverly, Brother Tim. God bless you all so much, my brothers out of Australia, everyone who is, you know, hollering at us on the chat line right now. God bless you all so much. We thank God for you.
brothers in Indonesia and in Africa. Good friend Pastor Simbufu out of Uganda. God bless you. Pastor Cobbs, God bless you, out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. God bless you. Bishop Dean out of New Jersey. That's right, New Jersey. Amen. God bless you. God bless all of you who are just giving us encouragement for bringing this piece to the radio show. God bless you all. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Merciful Father, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, for this opportunity, God, to bring your word to your people. We ask right now, Father, as we are preparing to dismiss from this broadcast, that knowledge was dispensed. Lord, we ask right now, as the enemy attempts to bring forth unbelief, we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. We rebuke it, God, because as things are coming, as things are changing in our society, as hate is rising up more, as love is coming across less, we have to stand firm on your word, Father, and we have to stand in the blood. And I pray, Lord, for our partners all over this world, God, who not only listen to this radio broadcast, but our partners, God, who are connected to us by our books, by our Facebook, by our social media, Twitter, and all these other things, our website. We thank you, God, for them. And we pray for every minister, every congregant that believes in you, Lord. We ask you right now to continue, Lord, to give us your way and your will, Father. Order our steps as we do what we do, Father. And I pray right now for healing for the sick. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would continue, God, to open up blinded eyes. Continue to move us in the direction you would have us to go, God. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus, God, to bless me and my family, God, for as things are coming down the pike, God, make us strong to continue to speak the truth, God, to fight against abortion, God, to love those who are culturally different than us, God, that are culturally different against the word of God. Let us not ever get to a point that what we say sounds like hate, but let it always reveal truth, God. Our prayer is right now, Lord, we pray for the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, every member that is there, God. And I thank you, Father, so much for allowing me to be a shepherd of such a beautiful flock of people, God. I ask you right now, Lord, to continue, Lord, to bless this ministry, this radio ministry. Continue to bless our ministry as a whole, Father. For God, we only do it for you. Only you will get the glory. And Lord, we do it, Lord, for the grace and mercy that you've laid upon us. I pray for couples right now, God, as turmoil might come in, God. I pray that laughter, love, and joy will always be infused in their marriages. I pray for the children, Lord, who are seem to be thrown to the side in some cases, God. Lord, that they will have relationships with their parents, God, and that they will continue, Lord, to seek you as you continue to seek them, God. For your word says, Lord, suffer the little children not to come unto you, God. So we ask you right now, Lord, to continue to bless us, to show you in all things to our young people, to those that follow us, to show you, God, not us, God. For as our light burns out, God, your light will burn brighter, God. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to encourage you to continue to love this, love God, love life. Continue to keep the light on. A good friend, Wakila, we're going to go out with her. Make this week a different week. Share with somebody the love of Jesus Christ. Hug somebody tomorrow, maybe that hasn't liked you. Give them the biggest hug and tell them I missed you this weekend, and I look forward to working with you all this week. Just show them some love and watch what happens. God bless you. We'll see you next week. This is Dr. Adrian Butler, the Christian Lifestyle Network. This is the Power of Your Day broadcast. We'll see you next week. Take care.
This is Reverend Timothy Williams, pastor of the Montmorency Missionary Baptist Church of Montmorency, South Carolina. You are tuned in to the Power of Your Destiny broadcast. May God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you.